Welcome to the December 21st, 2022 meeting of the Eastern Municipal Water District Board of Directors. It's our last meeting of the year, so welcome everybody. We will always begin our meeting with our Pledge of Allegiance to our country. And if I could ask Mr. O'Neill, would you like to lead us this morning?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very good. Can I ask the board secretary if she could call the roll of the board, please?
Record? Director Record?
Here.
Director Corona?
Here.
Director Slauson?
Here.
Director Armstrong?
Here.
President Pauley is here, as well as our legal counsel.
Very good. April, do we have anyone wishing to do public comment on any item that is not on our agenda today?
Not that I'm aware of.
Very good. That will take us to item two on our agenda this morning, which is a public hearing for a CFD. And I understand, Director Slauson, you are conflicted out on this item?
Yes. My company's done work for KB Home.
Very good. So I will make a note that Director Slauson is leaving the dais for this item. This is the time and place set for a duly noticed public hearing regarding the proposed establishment of Community Facilities District number 22-95, Nuevo Meadows, of the Eastern Municipal Water District, the proposed rate and method of appointment, and authorizing the CFD to incurred bond indebtedness. I hereby declare the public hearing open, and I'd like to ask staff for a report.
Morning, President Pauley, members of the board. On November 16th, 2022, the board adopted resolution number 2022-259, declaring its intention to establish CFD number 2022-95, Nuevo Meadows, and resolution 2022-260 for the CFD to incur bond indebtedness not to exceed $15 million. MWD has received a signed petition by the landowner within the CFD, KB Home Coastal Incorporated, to form the CFD to finance applicable EMWD water and sewer facilities costs in lieu of fees and Newview Union School District fees and facilities. The project is planned for 271 single-family homes and is located west of Pico Avenue, north of San Jacinto Avenue, and south of Central Avenue in an unincorporated portion of Riverside County known as Nuevo. KB Home is expected to develop the property, and CFD number 2022-95, as proposed, will be established in compliance with EMWD's comprehensive debt policy, meeting or exceeding all requirements. Annual special taxes within the CFD will have an average effective tax rate of 2% or less at the time of bond sale. Special taxes may be levied at their assigned rate as soon as a parcel is considered developed. The board has received and reviewed a community facilities district report for the CFD, prepared by Webb Municipal Finance, LLC, which is hereby entered into the record of this public hearing. The proposed CFD, CFD number 2022-95, Nuevo Meadows, is also within the boundaries of an existing CFD, number 2006-51, Nuevo Meadows. The petition received by KB Home also requests the dissolution of CFD number 2006-51, upon the formation of the new CFD, CFD number 2022-95. CFD number 2006-51 is an older CFD that has since changed ownership. Excuse me. And the CFD has not issued bonds, nor have any special taxes been levied by the CFD. Forming CFD number 2022-95 and dissolving CFD number 2006-51 will serve to update rates and costs from 2006, as well as update the number of the CFD and extend the term of the tax.
Are there any questions for staff on this item? Seeing none, I'd like to ask the Secretary of the Board how this hearing was noticed.
Notice of the public hearing was published on December 13, 2022, in the Press Enterprise, a newspaper circulated within the CFD boundary in accordance with Mello-Roos Community Facilities Act of 1982.
If the Secretary of the Board has received any written protest to the proposal, I'd ask her to provide copies to the Board at this time.
No written protests to the proposal have been received.
Thank you. Since members of the public have been invited to participate in this hearing by phone, I'd ask if any members of the public who would like to comment on this item do so now, and please state your name for the record. Are there any members of the public either in the chambers or on the phones?
None.
Seeing none. At this time, we are ready to adopt the following resolution. Resolution establishing CFD number 2022-95, Nuevo Meadows of Eastern Municipal Water District, authorizing the levy of special taxes and calling for an election within, and a resolution determining the necessity to incur bond indebtedness within CFD 2022-95 and calling an election here within. I will accept a motion and a second for these resolutions.
Make a motion.
Motion by Director Armstrong, second by Director Corona. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
That passes 4-0 with Director Slauson not participating. The resolutions we have just adopted to form CFD number 22-95, authorize a special tax and call for a bond election within CFD number 2295, which is to be held at this time by the Secretary.
All ballots have been cast in connection with the election for Community Facilities District Number 2022-95, Nuevo Meadows of Eastern Municipal Water District, and the election has now been closed. The results of said election, which includes the number of votes cast for and against Proposition A, B, and C, was unanimous in favor of all propositions.
Having heard the statement of the Secretary certifying the results of the voting for the propositions, I will entertain a motion to adopt the following resolution. Resolution certifying the results of December 21st, 2022 special tax and bond elections within CFD 2295 of the Eastern Municipal Water District. This time I will look for a motion and a second upon the resolution.
I'll move it.
Motion by Director Record.
Second.
Second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
That passes 4-0 with Director Slauson not participating. The resolution is passed. I will now ask the district's legal counsel if it is necessary for the Secretary to read the proposed ordinance to be voted upon in connection with these proceedings with respect for authorizing the levy of special taxes within CFD 22-95.
The reading of proposed ordinance of the Board of Directors of Eastern Municipal Water District, acting in its capacity as the legislative body of Community Facilities District Number 2022-95, Nuevo Meadows, of the Eastern Municipal Water District, authorizing the levy of a special tax within the district, may be waived, since everyone present has a copy of the proposed ordinance or may obtain a copy from the district's website.
Very good, sir. I will now accept a motion and second to waive the reading of the proposed ordinance and adopt the ordinance.
So moved.
Motion by Director Corona.
Second.
Second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
And the motion passes 4-0 with Director Slauson not participating. With the formation of CFD number 22-95 now approved, I will entertain a motion to adopt the following resolution. Resolution determining a special tax for CFD number 2006-51 of the Eastern Municipal Water District shall cease to be levied and authorizing and directing a recognition of notice of succession of the special tax.
Make that motion.
Motion by Director Armstrong.
Second.
Second by Director Record. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
And that passes 4-0 with Director Slauson not participating. We will move on next to executive reports and get Director Slauson back here.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. My report is included in your packet. Wanted to share some incredible news with the district. Yesterday, the Bureau of Reclamation announced an award of grant funding of an additional 17 $5.5 million in support of our purified water replenishment program. The announcement came as just incredible news for us. As you are aware, in October, we were awarded $10 million from the Bureau for the purified water replenishment. So in total, to date, we have received $27.5 million of grant funding from the Bureau to advance our purified replenishment program. In addition to the announcement, the project was listed in the omnibus appropriation bill that was also released yesterday. This is a requirement of the WIN statute. So this has just been a tremendous success. And I do want to give a shout-out to our entire team, our grants alone, our planning, engineering, and also our federal and legislative team, specifically Jolene Walsh and Pete Evich from Vance Koyak & Associates. I think it was just a tremendous team effort to secure, so far, $27.5 million of grant funding for that important program. I mentioned the omnibus appropriations bill that was released yesterday. We are tracking that very closely because that bill also includes three projects that have been sponsored by our electeds as far as earmarks, and specifically with Congressman Takano supporting $3.5 million for Well 56 PFAS treatment, Congressman Calvert $2.5 million for the Quail Valley septic to sewer conversion, and Congressman Issa supporting $2 million for the sewer infrastructure project in Wine Country. So that omnibus appropriations bill will be debated today in the Senate, and with an expected vote today in the Senate, then that will go on to the House. We anticipate that the President, if approved by both chambers, will sign the bill on Friday. Otherwise, the government will go into shutdown. So we will track those activities ongoing in Washington, D.C., as it has a direct impact on our proposed projects. Also, I wanted to share with the board that last week, the Metropolitan Water District Board of Directors adopted a resolution declaring a drought emergency for the entire region and calling upon all its member agencies to further reduce use of imported water supplies. Given that both the State Water Project, currently at 5% allocation, as well as the Colorado River, under a significant amount of stress, Metropolitan felt that it was the appropriate next step as it advances discussions at Metropolitan over the course of the next several months to develop a water supply allocation plan with the goal of potentially bringing forward an allocation plan for the Metropolitan Board for adoption sometime in April of 2023, where it would be in effect summer of 2023. Now, as you're aware, we're also tracking the conditions up north and in the Colorado River Basin. And in December, and as of December 7th, the Northern Sierra had received approximately 156% of normal precipitation, and the Upper Colorado River Basin had received 117% of normal precipitation. So it's a good start for the winter year. But as you recall, last December, it was a record wet December. But then it was followed by historic dry months, driest ever on record. So we will continue monitoring those conditions, but it would take a very wet year to change Metropolitan's trajectory as far as a water supply allocation plan. Also, I wanted to share with the board that this week, EMWD staff did weigh in on the proposed Delta Conveyance Project, specifically the draft environmental impact report that was released for public comment, as previously discussed with the board and presented by the State Water Project General Manager. We did weigh in, highlighting the benefits of the proposed Delta Conveyance Project, specifically the water quality benefits, the reliability benefits, and the ability to convey water during wet years to Southern California, as well as mitigation against any potential catastrophic seismic activities in the Delta. So we captured those benefits not only to EMWD, but frankly for the entire Southern California region, and that letter was submitted this week. Also, I wanted to mention that last week, Director Armstrong and I had the opportunity to meet with Riverside County Supervisor Jeffries. We discussed the next round of American Rescue Plan Act funding and several projects that EMWD has put forward for county consideration, including specifically a sewer extension to serve Highway 74. We reviewed a couple of different options, and along those lines, the supervisor was receptive to discussing potentially utilizing the enhanced infrastructure funding district that was recently established by the county to fund the proposed consolidation cost between EMWD and the city of Paris, since one of the options that we're currently reviewing to serve Highway 74 would utilize the city of Paris sewer system. It was a really good conversation, and we look forward to having further conversations with the city of Paris and the county of Riverside how we can potentially advance that effort further. Under items of interest to the board, I wanted to mention that on December 13th, staff held a financial agreement notary signing event for the community, and we so far have 21 agreements that have been executed by residents of the Los Alamos Hills community. This is to participate in our financial arrangement for the annexation and the connection fees for that community. So we will conduct additional outreach, and we are looking at holding another event to sign the agreements, and we will continue to advance that effort, and we'll report back to the board accordingly. And finally, I did want to mention that yesterday staff did participate in a meeting with the city of Murrieta, as well as a number of developers within the Murrieta Northern Keyhole area. There's about 320 acres that are currently not part of our service territory. We discussed ways that we can potentially advance planning efforts to look at the infrastructure needed, whether it's sewer or water or, frankly, a road network that would have to be established. We discussed the annexation process, CEQA process, and financial participation. So it was a good discussion. We are going to be looking at developing a scope of work for a focused area, a planning study, and we will share that with the developers and discuss their participation in that effort. With that, I finally, given that this is the last board meeting of the year, on behalf of staff, I just wanted to extend my appreciation to the Board of Directors for an incredibly successful 2022, and wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for the General Manager, Director Slauson?
Sure, I have one question. How many property owners were there in the Los Alamos Hills?
There's a total of 50 properties that potentially can participate in the program that we've put forward. During the last community event, we had 34 sign an interest letter to participate. And so far, we have 21 signed financial agreements.
Okay, so you anticipate having sufficient?
Yes.
But the 21, is that because there's property owners that have multiple properties, right? So would that be 21 parcels, or would that be 21 owners of parcels?
That's a good point, Dr. Cronin. I'll have to check to see if that's 21 parcels or 21 property owners.
It's still good.
Yeah.
And then I had a comment, the additional $17.5 million. 27.5 total,
yes.
Contribution. That's money that would otherwise be paid for our ratepayers.
Absolutely. I mean, we look at it as part of our longstanding initiative to bring tax dollars back to this community and reduce the financial burden on our ratepayers. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's a huge event, and I appreciate everyone's work. And on my behalf, I'm sure the other board members. I think our staff does an excellent job. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Slauson.
Merry Christmas.
It's just incredible. I mean, it gets to the point where you almost get embarrassed about the kind of money we've been having. Almost. I'm not there. But congratulations to staff and everyone. It's just phenomenal on behalf of our ratepayers.
Thank you, Director Record. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, you know, they're going to give it to somebody, and it might as well be us. So I'm extremely happy about that.
Director Armstrong, any comments?
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a wonderful outcome. It's got I don't know in total how that compares to other major grants that we've received, but it has to be getting up close to you know, one of the top ones. It's a significant amount.
It is. As far as I recall, this is the second highest grant for a single project that we've received. The highest being so far is the $62 million we secured for the North Paris Groundwater Program from the State Water Resource Control Board. But this grant amount, in fact, is higher than the amount we received for Paris 2, desalter, which was $22.5 million. Still, these are incredible numbers we're talking about. But this will be the second highest ever grant that this organization has received in our history.
Now, again, I just want to say congratulations. We people ask, well, you know, you guys go to D.C. and you meet with the members of Congress. Well, this is what this is about. To me, our ratepayers send money to D.C., and I feel part of our job is to get that money back here where we know we can do good things for it for the community rather than sometimes it goes to D.C. and some people think it goes into a black hole and they don't know what it does. Bringing it back to our district, which we know we make good products out of it and does good things. So I want to continue that effort. I think the investment we put into doing all that pays off greatly. So congratulations to our whole team on that.
Appreciate it.
Laura, do you have anything for us this morning? All right.
Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. Happy holidays. Being that today on the agenda, we are bringing forward for board acceptance the district's award-winning annual comprehensive financial report, I find it appropriate to acknowledge an employee who plays a key role in the financial operations and preparation of this very important document. Janet Vryheide, she's right here, our senior financial manager over accounting operations and financial reporting, is retiring after 18 years with the district on December 30th. Janet joined the district in February 2005 as a senior accountant in the project's accounting group. She later moved on to the general accounting group in August 2007 as the accounting supervisor, overseeing payroll, accounts payable, miscellaneous accounts receivable, and general accounting. She was promoted to financial manager 3 in April 2014 and then to senior financial manager in January 2018, managing staff involved with accounting operations and financial reporting. During her 18 years with the district, Janet implemented 3 significant government accounting standard board statements, GASB 68 relating to pensions, GASB 75 other post-retirement benefits, and this year, lease accounting. Implementation of these GASBs, I'm sure as Director Armstrong can attest, is no easy task and takes many hours of work to execute properly. Janet is a certified public accountant and highly respected in her field. At a recent finance department retirement lunch for Janet, her managers and coworkers reflected on Janet's career using words like responsible, honest, reliable, intelligent, dependable, compassionate, loyal, and considerate in speaking of Janet. She has served the district with integrity and honor, and she will be greatly missed. On behalf of EMWD's Board of Directors and staff, we thank you, Janet, for your dedicated service to the district and our customers. We wish you all the best in your retirement. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Laura, and good morning, members of the board. I just want to express my deepest gratitude to the district, and especially the finance executive team, for all the opportunities they have given me to grow, not only professionally, but as a person. It has been such a privilege and honor to be a part of the EMWD family for almost 18 years. And whenever I'm asked where I work, I puff up like a proud peacock and say EMWD. I have never worked for an organization and a board of directors who make their employees a priority like EMWD does. Thank you. And there's a quote that reminds me of the culture of EMWD, and it says, "We are not a team because we work together. We are a team because we respect, trust, and care for one another." And I am so proud of the district and its many achievements, like Joe just mentioned today, and I wish the district the best in all its future endeavors. And thank you again for a rewarding and fulfilling career. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I will make a quick comment, and thank you for your service, but going back to the grant that we got, If our books are not looking 100% straight, I guarantee you the federal government would not be giving us grants or anything else. So having the accounting done correctly is an important part of any public agency, and I don't think we recognize that enough. So thank you for your service. Nick, anything for us this morning?
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. I have two items this morning. The first item, as part of the Proposition 68 grant funding secured for the implementation of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, EMWD purchased 27 transducers to really augment our groundwater monitoring program. Of those 27 transducers, 23 were installed last week and 2 were installed this week. This information is going to help us understand and collect data on how water levels in specific locations respond to pumping in that area and overall ensure the long-term sustainability of our groundwater as a local resource. Also, on December 9th, EMWD staff provided public comment in support of the Doheny Ocean Desalination Project to the State Lands Commission. The State Lands Commission approved the project unanimously, and this represents the third and final regulatory permit and public hearing required for the project to advance. South Coast Water District expects to advance their design, build, operate, maintain procurement later this year, with hopefully awarding the contract late in 2023.
Excellent news. Thank you very much for that. We will now go on to item 4 on our agenda, which is our consent calendar. I understand, Director Slauson, you have a conflict on item J. Is that correct?
Yes.
Then I would do any members of the board have any questions or comments on the consent calendar? Very good. With that, I will look for a motion for items A through I on the consent calendar. So moved by Director Slauson.
Moved by
Cronus, second by Director Slauson. Can I get a roll call vote on that, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director
Armstrong?
That passes 5-0. Director Slauson, for the records, leaving the dais. I will then look for a motion on item J of the consent calendar. Director Armstrong, Director Cronin, would you like to second that? Very good. May I get a roll call vote on item J?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
And that passes 4-0 with Director Slauson not participating in the vote. With that, we'll go on to item 5 this morning, which is our action calendar. Item A is to receive and accept the annual comprehensive financial report, the single audit report on expenditure of federal awards in the assessment districts number 5, 7, and 8, and 12, financial statements of Eastern Municipal Water District for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2022. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. This morning, we are pleased to present the fiscal year 2022 audit of the district's financial statements and the single audit of the federal grant award expenditures. I would like to discuss a few highlights for the year. In the fiscal year 2022, we implemented the complex new accounting standard GASB 87 on leases. And that was led, as mentioned earlier by Laura, by Janet Reihide, our senior finance manager. And we're proud to say that we are one of the few governments that implemented this GASB 87 and had them ready for the audit prior to the start of the audit, thanks to Janet. Also, we had the accounting and reporting for the new Section 115 pension benefits and OPEB trust during the fiscal year. For the single audit, we reported on the expenditures and compliance with the requirements of the ARPA funding received through the state's CEWA program for the past due customer water and sewer accounts during the COVID pandemic period. At this point, we would like to mention and also thank the other finance department staff who were well prepared for the audit, even providing the requirements to the auditors prior to the start of the audit fieldwork. in August. The field work was completed as planned in 2 weeks, on the first week of September, and we completed the ACFER in the early part of November. This concurrently with staff involvement with the ERP project as well. We would also like to thank the PG&A staff for their support and work on the ACFER compilation, for their patience and working closely with the finance department. And at this time, we would like to welcome Brian Gruber, LSL partner in charge of the audit engagement, for his audit presentation. Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Brian Gruber with LSL CPAs, and I have a brief presentation to go over here. There we go. So LSL has been engaged to conduct a financial statement audit for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2022. A component of an independent audit is an assessment and understanding of internal control for the district. Internal control would be those policies and procedures the district has in place to ensure proper financial reporting. A little bit about the audit process. The audit is broken up into a couple components, the first of which is our interim audit, which we conducted this past year during the months of April and May. This is our planning phase of the audit, the chance to walk through each of the major transaction cycles for the district and test some of that information and how that feeds into the financial reporting process. Also conducting some preliminary testing on the financial information during the fiscal year. We conduct and complete a risk assessment, which ultimately helps, drive our audit and our procedures that we perform, which comes into the year-end audit, which we conducted during the months of August and September after the district has had a chance to close out its books from June 30. The year-end audit consists of various account analysis and substantive and analytical testing, basically making sure that the information being presented in those financial statements is accurate and can be relied upon. We do certain procedures like confirmations with outside parties, such as financial institutions and others, to confirm those amounts that are being reported by the district. And also some cutoff procedures, making sure that financial transactions are being put in the proper period. This all kind of comes together in the annual comprehensive financial report, which has three major sections: introductory, financial, and statistical information. The purpose of a financial statement audit is for us to express an opinion on those financial statements. Management and staff are responsible for what goes into those statements. And then our responsibility is to express an opinion that information can be relied upon in all material respects, and also that is presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. In other words, similar accounting procedures as other government agencies. We express what's referred to as an unmodified opinion on the financial statements. This is the opinion you would seek to achieve in a financial audit, and ultimately means that the statements have been audited and can be relied upon. We did include communication regarding what we refer to as an emphasis of matter, which is a new accounting pronouncement implementation, which was GASB 87. The district has implemented and complied with those requirements. In addition to our independent auditor report, there's a couple communication letters. First is required by governmental auditing standards, which is our report on internal control and compliance. We noted no deficiencies in internal control or items that would rise to level of a material weakness or significant deficiency, and also noted no non-compliance or other matters to report to the board. The third letter is we refer to as our auditor communication letter. This is our opportunity to communicate to the board if there's other difficulties, other findings, other misstatements, challenges during the audit process. There were no other findings mentioned in the letter. And then there's also some communication on implementation of accounting standards, which I referred to GASB 87, which is lease accounting. And I do really commend the district on this district staff on being able to implement those timely. I think that was a bigger, heavier lift than most government agencies expected. So in summary, LSL has been engaged to conduct a financial statement audit. The results have been provided to you in the annual comprehensive financial report. An unmodified opinion on those financial statements was rendered. In addition, two other communication letters, our internal control letter and compliance letter, and our auditor communication were issued along with those financial statements. I should also note that in your agenda packet is our audits of the assessment districts and single audit, which had no findings, positive results, and also the GAN limit is included in your agenda packet. That concludes my presentation, and I'm available if any questions or any other questions for staff.
Any questions from the board? Seeing none, I will look for a motion. Motion by Director Armstrong, second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Rucker?
Aye.
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
That passes 5-0. Thank you for staff and our auditors for that work. We will now move on to item B, which is to approve and authorize an agreement with the Hemet San Jacinto Water Master to perform monitoring program services for calendar year 2023, an appropriation of $226,000.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. We're here to talk about the monitoring program on the Hemet San Jacinto side of the groundwater basin. And for reference, this map shows the entire groundwater basin. In the blue, you see the west side, which is the non-adjudicated portion. In the yellow crosshatch, that is the adjudicated portion, which is managed by the Hemet San Jacinto Water Master. So this presentation relates to the annual monitoring program that we have that impacts both sides, but specifically the budget associated with execution of those monitoring tasks in the adjudicated portion of the basin. This slide has a listing of all the activities that we undertake throughout the basin, but again, specifically for this presentation in the adjudicated portion. These activities are executed by Eastern staff that we have in the field. And what results is that we have an annual budget which is based on historic performance that gives us a level of effort associated with all these activities. And we have costs that are associated with those. These things support the activities of the Water Master. Reports support projects that we're executing on the east side as well, and also support better understanding of the groundwater system throughout the groundwater basin. So you can see a summary on this slide of the specific activities. And as I mentioned, those are tied to a programmed, expected, and historically valid level of effort, the staff costs associated with that, and that rolls up to a dollar amount that has been coordinated with the Hemet San Jacinto Water Master. And so our recommendation is that approval and authorization by the general manager or his designee to enter into an agreement with the Water Master to perform the calendar year 2023 monitoring an appropriation of $226,000 to fund those project costs, including staff time, and those costs will be reimbursed by the Hemet San Jacinto Water Master.
Very good. Any questions on this item? Seeing none, I'll seek a motion and a second.
Move.
Moved by Director Records, second by Director Corona. May I please get a roll call vote?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
And that passes 5-0. We'll move on to item C, which is to adopt proposed resolution authorizing the 2023 board committee and other assignments, including approval of memberships and agency and outside organization representations at meetings and events. Mr. Mawad, you're going to present this item.
Yes, good morning again, President Pauley, members of the board. As the board is aware, on an annual basis, we bring forward for the following year any updates or changes for a board committee and other representation by EMWD. Included in your board letter is an attachment that identifies the proposed changes in red. And I do want to note that for the officers, per our admin code, there will be an item that we will bring forward on January 4th for the board to elect the president, vice president, and the treasurer. So we will bring that forward separately. I just wanted to include this for completeness in terms of reference information. But specifically what I wanted to cover today was the committees and the executive committee. We are proposing that would include the continuation of President Pauly to serve on the committee, as well as having Director Steve Corona serve on the executive committee. On the administrative committee, again, we are proposing that President Pauly would continue to serve. With the one modification would be that Director Armstrong would join that committee. And then the final change that we have identified here is for the recently established Doheny Ocean Desal Committee. As you're aware, the board did authorize formation of that committee. And we are proposing that President Pauly and Director Armstrong serve on that committee. Those are the extent of the changes that we are putting forward for your consideration, but I would be more than happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Any questions on this?
So, Mr. President, before we move forward to this, I'd like to consider the representation of Eastern at Metropolitan separately, so if we could do that after.
I wouldn't have an objection to that. Nope. Very good. We will go home. We will move or look for a motion and a second on all the proposed committees except for the representation at the Metropolitan Water District. Mr. Council, is that okay in your opinion to do that?
Yes, you can address that as a separate matter.
Very good. With that, look for a motion.
So moved.
So moved by Director Slauson.
Second.
Second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote on that, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
And that passes 5-0. We will now go back. Director Record asks that the representation on Metropolitan be pulled for a separate vote, and I will give the floor to Director Record.
Thank you, Mr. President. So the last 20 years, believe it or not, of me representing this district has been really phenomenal, and it's been an honor to do that. Going forward, I want to spend a lot more time on my farm in the Central Coast. And I believe that the representation that it takes and the time it takes to do it, I won't be able to commit. So I would ask that the board appoint someone to take my place. I would prefer it to be effective December 31st, that I would retire from the Met Board and the new representative would take over January 1st. So that's my request.
With that, I will look for, I personally think everybody sitting on this dais right now is more than capable of representing this district at the Metropolitan Water District. I certainly appreciate Director Record's representation, as he said, for almost, has it been 20 years?
20 years.
20 years. I mean, just to take a moment to reflect here, Director Record, you were the only person Eastern ever to be the chairman of MET. That was a huge benefit to this district. And it is an important position. We are, you know, and I know that MET with drought and the raising rates or potentially raising rates, the expense of operating that system is getting more and more costly. There's a lot of waiting decisions coming to MET, and I do know, as you mentioned, it takes a lot of time. It is L.A. is not a hop, skip, and a jump from here, and I know that we're kind of winding down the virtual participation of things, so I think it's going to take a lot of people, someone with the time and effort to make it to those meetings, because as you can probably attest, it's not just the board meetings, but it's the committee work where the real work is done.
Right, and it is, and, you know, just the interaction with staff and the other directors. I've been saying for years that the most important issue facing Metropolitan, other than the historic drought, is our revenue model and the idea that we spend money to get people not to use our product and our revenue is based on commodity sales doesn't work. There are the new general manager at Met has proposed workshops coming up that will try to deal with that, and it's going to take significant time, and it's really important. And so, you know, as I said, my intention is to continue to work here at Eastern and commit to spending the appropriate time here, but between the two, I think it's appropriate to allow someone else to have the opportunity that I've enjoyed the last 20 years going forward.
Very good. I will say for myself, I unfortunately do not have the time commitment to do that, but I might as well, other members of the board here who may be interested in being our Met representative.
Let me say, I wouldn't be in a position right now to, but I will say that Randy's done an excellent job, and that's really going to be missed. That representation at that level is so important. I know that in the past we had a member of this board serve as the ACWA president, but you serve as ACWA president and then Met president, and I think it's attributable to your skills. So since I don't think we're in a position to force you to stay.
Although I would entertain a motion for that. But,
probably wouldn't be fair. But I would look, I think Jeff Armstrong could probably do an excellent job. I don't know who else has an interest.
I am.
Okay, so Director Cronin, you have an interest in it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Director Armstrong, you indicated you may have an interest in it, right, since you're shaking your head down there.
Yeah.
So what I would propose is, why don't we take a few minutes and give each of our board members a few minutes to discuss why they would be interested in being our Met representative. That's okay with both of you. And then we will take a vote on it. So, Director Corona, would you like to?
Well, you know, I've been involved in the water business since 1983, when I started going to Rancho water meetings. Our family had been involved in a lawsuit with the water district, and became important to, you know, defend our property and learn about water. And I served on Citizens Advisory Committee with the water district. I eventually ran for the water district board in 1987 when it was pretty much impossible to win for anybody other than who was supported by Kaiser Development at the time, and it was a landowner vote, but I still did it. In 1990, I was involved in getting Rancho Water to convert from a landowner vote to a registered voter ballot, and you can see in the water code that there's a special part of the code for Rancho Water to convert to that vote. Later on, I've cut my teeth on public boards and community groups, Farm Bureau, the county general plan committees, both in the Citrus Vineyard policy area in Temecula, and at the 2003 general plan advisory committee. I'm on the board of the Upper Santa Margarita Irrigated Lands Group, which is for stormwater work for agriculture. Of course, I was elected to the board of Rancho Water, and I was on that board for 16 years. I was later removed from office via election, and those times you feel like, well, everything's gone south on you, but it really just turned my whole life around, and the opportunity to be here at Eastern arrived, and I could never have ever thought that I would have that opportunity. And so I think that my life's work of representing my community and representing the ratepayers in my district and my neighbors, I think, has prepared me for this job. Like I said, I could never imagine having this opportunity. But I think I can do the job.
All right. Thank you very much. Director Armstrong?
Yeah. Thanks. I've thought about this a little bit, and have a few points I wanted to make, but first I just wanted to say whatever outcome from this today, I support whatever decision this board makes on who represents us at Metropolitan, and I want to first also recognize Director Recker for his time there, too. I think your leadership at Metropolitan and your leadership, continued leadership in the state, being recognized as a leader is really something to be proud of, and we're very fortunate to have you on the Eastern Board. And whoever follows you has extremely big shoes to fill. So I also think that there's a big time commitment that comes along with a role like this, and I think to do it service, you have to make a commitment of time, not only for the meetings and the committees, even just digesting all of the material and getting up to speed on how Metropolitan operates. There's a lot of complexities there that you really need to understand to do the job well. There's associations, there's stakeholder groups. You just got to be committed to doing it. So if I was to be in this role, I would just make that commitment to this board that I would do what's necessary be fully engaged in that position. I also have time in water, 35 years this April in the water industry, and I started that really in the finance area. And, you know, financial reporting, developing budgets, to do those things, and like what we saw here today, you have to really understand the business and you have to understand water, not just the finances, but the operation of the business as well, to really do those things well. And when you do those, it gives you a good basis for when it comes to rates. You got to start with the cost of service study. There's so many costs in an organization like this and one like Met, and even Met's rate structure where they have a supply component, they have a power component, they have a treatment component. They have all these different components in their rates. You need to understand, be able to understand, where do these costs really belong? Because a lot of it is judgment. It could be over in this area, or it could be over in this area. You got to be able to understand all that stuff, and that's important because that then translates into the rates. And as you described, there's the nature of the cost. Some of them are variable, some of them are fixed, and when you don't set the rates recognizing those factors, you get into problems when demands change and fluctuate. And so I think I can bring a lot of experience to that, and I think it's really important to Eastern. Eastern is the sixth largest purchaser of water from the 26 member agencies at Metropolitan. And we're also the sixth greatest revenue source there. And but what is our voting percentage? Like,
so 2.9%.
Yeah, so you know we buy a lot more. We're a bigger customer than our vote is. And so it really is important for us to have a voice and to be participated in that process that's coming up. And I think I could add to that. And the last item is really what really motivates me for wanting to participate in this is I just have a real passion for water supply and securing a reliable, resilient, and reliable, appropriate quantity of supply, not only for today, but for future generations. And to be able to participate in something like that, I think would be a really rewarding aspect of it just for myself. But I would love to serve in the role. I would commit to doing the best I can, devoting the time, but I respect whatever decision the board makes.
Thank you for that. Any other board members with comments?
Well, so both you guys would be great representatives. There's no question in my mind, and I'm really pleased that both of you came from outside and maybe didn't understand the district as well as obviously you do now, but you know, you've really become part of the team, and it's just been great to have you continue, you know, the collegiality that we have on this board, and it's part of what makes us such an outstanding organization. You know, I will say that when I first got into water, I was farming full time. And I had a good partner, and I was able to commit time to this. Eventually, we sold that farm, and so I had much more time for water. Acquired the vineyard, well, it's been 15 years ago now, and initially my daughter managed it, but she has a full-time job now And so I've re-engaged and really enjoyed being back in agriculture. And I say all this because, Steve, I know what it's like to be torn between the two, and it's not fun, and it gets to be a problem. And so, you know, it's difficult for me to say which one of you guys I think would be better positioned at this time to represent Eastern, but I would have to say that since Jeff is retired, that he has the ability to suspend the time there. And I, you know, and I appreciate everything that you've done, Steve, and continue to do in water and in ag. And but I just
I'll make it easy for you guys. There's no I in team, and I will defer to Jeff. I mean,
well,
I tend to think that this was where it was going to go. So
I think that's very generous of you, and I think that that, you know, I think we all understand what's going on here, and I would expect that Jeff will let us know going forward if this is working out or not. And so, you know, these appointments, I mean, I've been serving at the pleasure of the board. It hasn't been a term or anything like that. So but there's always opportunities for further discussion as things change and we go forward. So
if I could, I look at director's record service at Met. If you go to the Met webpage and look at all the variety of directors, he does have very few ag people are on that board. I think you may be the only one, if I'm not mistaken. And I think ag is a very, very important piece of water use in Southern California. And I think having someone with that knowledge on that board has been very critical. And Steve would certainly fill that. And I appreciate you stepping forward on it. But as you mentioned, some of the issues facing Met right now are also going to be a lot of the financial issues. And so I appreciate everybody stepping forward here. I appreciate Steve's service to this board. I look forward to having Steve as the vice president of this board moving forward. But I would agree, I think, given, again, we are blessed with an immense amount of talent sitting at this dais right now. But I would have to concur. I think Jeff may be a little bit positioned. Again, these are not set in stone either, as Director Rankard has mentioned. So, again, I think we're blessed to have the talent on this board that any one of us could step into, not do the job that you've done on it, but be a good representative for the district on Met.
I would say that, first, thank you, Steve, for deferring to Jeff. There, I don't have to be put in a horrible position. So I've never been through at Eastern put in a position where we have to decide. It always seems that one person kind of comes forward, everyone sort of recognizes they would best be able to serve in that position. Both of you are qualified. Both of you would do an excellent job. But yes, since you're deferring, I appreciate that. And I'll support Jeff, too.
So with that, Mr. Armstrong, do you have anything you want to add to the conversation before we take a vote?
Are you rethinking it now that this
right? No, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate it, Steve. And, you know, I've enjoyed working with Steve. I enjoy being on this board, and I appreciate the comments, and I agree. You know, it's just for now and see how things go, but I appreciate it.
I would add, it's really fortunate. This board actually has two qualified people that could step in.
Very fortunate. So, Director Rankard, you like to make the motion?
So I'll make the motion that Director Armstrong represent Eastern at Metropolitan effective January 1st, 2023.
I'll second.
So we have a motion by Director Rankard, a second by Director Corona. Could I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Rankard?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson? Aye. Director Armstrong?
Aye.
That passes 5-2-0. With that, why don't we take a 10-minute break?
Thanks.
No. Here at the informational items, item number 6 on our agenda, which is financial operating capital highlights for the first quarter of fiscal year 22-23. Mr. Adams.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. Merry Christmas. So, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I should have.
All right. So this morning, I'm going to give a brief presentation on the first quarter financial and capital highlights for fiscal year 22-23. As the board knows, certainly is keenly aware of the inflationary environment in which we are at. And if you recall, back in June, the board did modify the current budget to anticipate some of those cost increases. As you'll see in the first quarter presentation, we're trending in a good positive area. Again, it's a little early. A lot of the increases that we have seen have been occurring in the first and second quarter, and so next March will be very important in that analysis. So let me get to. So as normal, I'm going to go through the consolidated enterprise, identify some key variances, and then go into the operating services, water, wastewater, recycle, G&A, and other statistics. Cover briefly capital and then a conclusion. So on the enterprise, consolidated enterprise statement, you know, the operating revenues are really close. I think they're over a little over 1% above budget. Again, we did make adjustments back in June, so that 1.2% is, you know, very tight from that aspect. It's the non-operating revenue. One of the things that we've seen and continue to see is the growth on connection fees. And if you just recall that usually connection fees are, you know, 6 to 9 months after the start of construction. So this revenue is really based on, you know, those starts that had started earlier in the year or even the prior year. As we've heard, starts have slowed down, so we really expect connection fees to be impacted in the third and fourth quarter of this fiscal year. With that said, overall revenues are above budget significantly because of that, and also late fees related to our customers and the us starting that back last September. Operating expenses are 7.7% under, which is good at this point. As I mentioned, we've seen some increases in costs, specifically in chemicals and energy. You'll see that in the operating statements, but still overall 7.7% under budget. And then on the non-operating, you just highlight a couple things. Debt service was under mainly because of refundings and just our conservative estimates on variable rate. And then the other one, the $15 million that was paid into the pension trust fund for the first quarter, three payments of $5 million in July, August, and September. So that's fully funded for this year. And then capital, very close, 22%, you know, based on sort of the overall with revenues and expenses. The net operating margin was higher than anticipated. So for water, just 1.7% above on our sales, a little over 30,000 acre feet sold. Revenue was 1.4%. Operating cost was $3.4 million under, or 7.2% below budget. Just some key highlights on sales. Domestic water sales was a little below budget, 2.8%. But ag water, specifically sales to Lake Hemet, was about $2 million above budget. And here you just see 1.4% above budget on the revenues. It is 1.3% higher than last year. And then on the operating expenses, 7.2% under budget, but 8.1% higher than last year. And some of that is those increased costs for both energy and chemicals. On the wastewater side, treatment flow is very similar, at least 49 million gallons per day above our 48 MGD anticipated. Wastewater revenue is very tight, only 0.2 million above, or 0.6% above budget, but operating cost was 8.5% under. And then on, you know, just the key highlights, treatment cost was lower, but that's really based on labor. vacancies and lower than expected outside services. Energy expenses was higher, even though we did make adjustments to the budget by $500,000. And then chemical expenses, we did increase that budget. It's 38% higher than prior year, but still 12% above the budget. So we didn't anticipate all the rate increases that you have seen over the last 3 to 6 months, but we'll see how that looks in the second quarter. And here you go, 0.6% above on the revenues and 8.5% under on the operating expenses. And then on recycled water, a little over 13,000 acre feet sold, 6.6% above prior year, which is good for us. Revenue was 3.3% above budget, and then operating expenses was just slightly below budget, $2 million, or $0.2 million. Increases, natural gas, again, energy, we're seeing that across the board, higher than what the budget was, even with the budget adjustments. And then transmission expenses were above budget, 8% for some unplanned repairs. Again, just the numbers, 3.3% on the revenues above, and then 10% on the under for expenses. Reserves, always show this slide. Reserves did peak in June, as they always do. We did have some large debt service payments in September, and so reserves did trend down to $646 million in reserves. Connections, I'm showing both water and sewer. Sewer is at the top. So sewer for the first quarter is almost 9% higher than it was the prior year, 89% higher than what our budget is. We take a very long-term forecast on the budget. So you can see that blue line. That was last year's numbers. The two green triangles are this year's, and so it's barely, 9% higher when we compare quarter over quarter for the prior year. On the water side, though, certainly those connections, 17% less than prior year, but still 36% above our long-term average related to the budget. Then capital, overall, I'm just highlighting 22% spent for the first quarter. I'm really highlighting, we mentioned earlier about some of our success on grants. $4 million of that, of the $28 million that was spent, was from outside funding or grants. And then operating fixed assets, these are things like vehicles and other repairs, major repairs. This is pretty consistent with prior years. I mean, we're only at 17%. As we hear about supply chain impacts on vehicles and our expenses, you can see our $4.5 million budget. We have not had any actual expenses as all vehicles are ordered for this fiscal year. And, with the delays and stuff, probably won't see those expenses until the third or fourth quarter. So in summary, overall, very tight on the operating side. Revenue is only 1.2% above budget. And then expenses currently are 7.7% under. Water revenue, again, 1.5% higher, even though domestic purchases are lower than anticipated. And then on the wastewater, again, very tight, only 0.6% on the revenue side above budget, and then recycled water, 3.3%. Connection fees, again, higher than the budget. That's because we have a very conservative budget. We'll see how that trends in the second and third quarters. And then finally, I just mentioned the grants of $4 million of the $28 million that we spent. With that, I'm available for any questions.
I just had one. Remind me again, when we book the connection fees, is actually when they come in to pay it.
That is correct. So, housing starts, they don't pay until they actually get the connection, and so it's usually months down the road.
So there's a drag. So we were 59% above what we thought.
Correct. And it is very our long-term average on the budget's very conservative. So certainly, the revenue is really reflective of starts that happen in earlier in the year.
And to that point, President Pauly, we've had recent discussions with the BIA, and they've indicated that new starts have diminished significantly. But there's inventory in process, and we expect that inventory to continue to result in healthy connections for us over the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. But we will see a drop in those connection fees. So that's why we're going to monitor the next couple of quarters closely, because you're absolutely right. We anticipate the connection fee revenue will drop.
Yeah, and Corey Wallace of Development Services provides a monthly update. We look at the revenue, and the November numbers that we saw early in December are still consistent with the prior quarter. So we, you know, again, at least the first 2 months within the second quarter look very consistent to the first quarter. We'll see them as we go into the new year.
That just again, that's it's a hard thing to gauge, but
it is.
It's an impressive number when you see 59% above, but I realize that's a fluid situation. So,
yeah, and those connection fees really do fund that expansion in capital.
Yes.
And so it's really restricted for that. So it's really, as development comes and goes, you know, our capital budget, specific line expansion, trends accordingly.
And then my other question on the vehicles, we don't book that till they're delivered, correct?
That is
they're
correct.
In
this
our
is a
lot.
Great. This is a great question at admin that Dan Hall answered. We do not book that expense until the actual vehicle comes in. Even though we issue purchase orders and make those commitments and have them, we're not making the payments until that point. And just a note, as we look to a new ERP, this may be something we look to change, is to actually encumber those funds to show what has already been, quote-unquote, committed 100%.
I was going to say, because it's kind of a little off because of the drag in how long it's taking to actually get vehicles to us, but it looks like we're not doing anything, but indeed we are. So
yes.
I don't know if that's under the accounting rules, if that's allowed, but it might be a little more better information to the board that we've actually issued the purchase order for that.
And I think it's something we should we'll look to change. I think it is important to know what the commitment is, even though we've had the expense, what has been ordered and what are we expecting. So
any other questions for Mr. Adams on this item? All right. Thank you so much. We will now move on to informational item B, which is the Eastern Municipal Water District Geographic Information Systems Master Plan Update. Good morning.
Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. I'm excited to present the Enterprise Geographic Information Master Plan Update. So the Enterprise GIS Master Plan was really established as our marching orders through 2024. An extensive need assessment and planning process was done throughout the district to bring forth these initiatives. It involved almost every department within the district. 37 initiatives were formed from this process, and they have over 200 sub-activities within. So we're very busy. We have a lot to accomplish with this plan. Thus far, we are 45% complete. You can see each initiative lined out and the percentage we're complete thus far. Our core areas that we're focusing on are really developing a strong GIS foundation within the district, strengthening and sustaining what we have thus far, and building and extending the GIS system. Okay, so here's some highlights of our foundational components that we're working on. An enterprise GIS group was formed under the Information Systems Department. It was really developed to give an enterprise broad approach to GIS for the district and to be available to all departments with assistance in GIS. Two of the three positions that have been lined out have been filled. We are interviewing for the final position after the holidays, so we have our fingers crossed that we will have that final position filled. Our infrastructure is currently up to date, and we are on a two-year cadence to keep it that way. We are developing an extensive EGIS government documentation library. This documentation will include data quality standards, training procedures, and overall compliance to keep the EGIS governance underway. We have been working on data enhancements to this system. There's lots to be done here. We're improving the quality of the data. We're improving automated data editing techniques. Interdivisional role coordination, our goal within the next year is really to work within the divisions in the district that support the EGIS system to evaluate what processes they should be doing to be in compliance. And I just wanted to highlight probably one of the largest data enhancements projects we did over the last year. This project is complete. Most of the GIS data within the system was off by 10 to 15 feet spatially. In some areas, it was even off by 50 feet. We went into this project with the goal of doing this with automated techniques, and we were successful. In the pictures, you can see our pre-spatial realignment and then our post-spatial realignment. So this is very important to our field users that are relying on this system, and also just in creating an exhibit for maybe the board or for another department, you could see previously the data was off, so it wouldn't present well. We have corrected that problem.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second? When you presented in admin committee, this is the slide I walked away with in my memory. That it was, I know in water you can't be 10 feet off, so.
Yes. I'm glad you walked away with that.
That was the one part I walked away with my memory was, we actually got that fixed, so. Congratulations.
It was a large effort. Yes. Thank you.
Can I ask you why was it off to begin with? Is that because the county parcel data that you get isn't aligned right, or is it?
Yeah. So in the past, they had updated the GIS data in another system, and they had relied on purchasing land-based information. And at some point, they purchased a piece of land-based that was off.
Oh.
And then it just created kind of a puzzle effect where they were mapping off of that continuously. And it looked okay until you put imagery in the background and you can see what the results were.
The county system's been off 4 to 5 feet for a long time.
So yes.
It always showed up in all the old Rancho maps. Whenever Rancho would do stuff, it would always show up on that stuff. So
yeah, it's a complex problem to deal with.
And I would add, this is obviously, this information and the GIS is used by our field staff. When they're out there exercising valves, locating facilities, doing construction. So having accurate information, as President Pauly mentioned, is so key to avoiding issues in the field. So this is just one of many improvements that we're seeing as part of this GIS effort.
Okay, our next area of focus is strengthening and sustaining what we have thus far. So we have stood up an EGIS Steering and Technical Advisory Committee, and our goal there really is to communicate the progress with the stakeholders and gather valuable feedback. We've been getting really good feedback in these meetings to make enhancements to the GIS system. And another one of our goals is change management process. It's important that we follow the IS policies so we don't have missteps when testing new patches, software enhancements, and we're also communicating with our user base when we have system outages. We now have dedicated EGIS to support GIS systems and applications. Most of the folks that use the GIS tools, it's not their core function. It's something, a tool they use to enhance their data functionality. So we're here to help them with the software and get through it. Life cycle management, it's important that we stay up to date with system updates and patches, so we follow the industry closely to monitor these. Data quality plan, we're developing an extensive plan to really ensure that we have good quality control measures and protect the district's investment in their GIS data. Training and educational plan, we are currently developing an educational plan aimed at GIS functions. So I just wanted to highlight the data quality plan that we are currently developing. It's focused on having specific quality criteria that's measurable. Our goal is to create data layer creation and editing specifications for each layer within the GIS system. This lines out how an editor should edit these data and what quality control measures they should be doing as they're creating the data, preventing error from ever getting into our data. And it's also going to help with succession planning. As we have folks retiring out, we have that document in place to really keep up with those data layers. Quality assurance and quality control processes. We are looking at every data layer and seeing how we can keep the QC underway, whether that be automated or non-automated techniques. Timeliness and maintenance of the GIS data. We now have a policy that dictates that the data must be completed in a timely fashion. As mentioned before, we have many integrations and field workflows that are dependent now on the GIS data. Training and education. We plan to come out with a brown bag session that's specifically focused on GIS data quality. User engagement and input. Our goal is always to work with the data owners and develop this QC plan together. And then monitoring of the quality control measures. We have specific quality checks that are being run on a quarterly basis, and we're communicating with the data owners for correction. We have hundreds of quality control automated techniques running every quarter. And this is really what we're working towards, building and extending the GIS system. So we really wanted to establish a strong foundation, enhance all of our data so we can build these rich applications. So we are building lots of mobile, desktop applications, increasing our data analysis, and expanding our integrations. Some of our integrations have been rather large. We just completed the integration with the new CIS system. There's a bi-directional data flow between the two systems. Our goal is always to enhance access to the information. So we have built web applications like HydroMapper that anyone is available to use within the district and also in the field. Almost every field component that we are implementing has some sort of dashboarding or reporting as just to give some office insight into what's occurring in the field. And training and educating our users, our goal is always to do hands-on training with the field users on applications and then write up documentation. So mobile applications, I just want to highlight a few here. This is really the area that we're growing the most in the GIS system, and I really see us growing within the next 5 years rather quickly and expeditiously in this area. So some of the things we have implemented, leak tracking and work order creation. There's a GIS application in the field that does this. And we have a GIS field application where service orders are being optimized for routing techniques. And we also have an application in the field that the meter installers are using to visualize what they need to install for the day and also track the work they are doing throughout the day. This process was really paper heavy before the GIS came in and enhanced it. And here are some highlights of some desktop applications that we have created. So our HydroMapper web application, we currently implemented a live data feed from CAL FIRE to assist with the Hemet fire. This live data feed allowed our operations staff to monitor that Hemet fire on a daily basis. We could see it growing within the application. So we have emergency event management implemented in HydroMapper, and it also spawned us grabbing a lot of other live data feeds, such as earthquake, floods. We've implemented those so the district can use them as a whole. And live dashboards, we are implementing these in almost every field-based application. It allows office insight into field functions. And data quality checks, any integration that we currently implement, we are developing portals to look at the data between the two systems and create audit reports so we can quickly ensure the systems are within compliance. And on to our next steps. I won't go over all of these, but I just want to highlight a few. In our foundational area, the large projects we'll be working on in the upcoming fiscal year, we will be upgrading our whole GIS system architecture. HydroMapper will be upgraded as well. And in our strengthen and sustain area, we're going to continue with the steering and TAC committee updates. It's really giving us valuable feedback to the GIS system, so we're able to do continuous improvement. And then build and extend, you can see we're going to be very busy building out mobile and desktop applications within the next year. So just to highlight a few that are pictured on the slide, we are going to assist with lead pipe field assessments. The EPA has established new guidance where we need to monitor from the meter to the customer's home for lead. So we have done some GIS and analytical techniques, and we're going to implement some field applications to assist. And then the other one I'll highlight is our capital improvement projects web viewer. So our goal is to develop an external facing web viewer so we can assist with other agencies being able to see our upcoming projects for the next 5 years. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions on this?
I would just say we heard this in admin committee, mm-hmm. and I think just the potential applications are probably not even really thinking about, but really enhances our capabilities. So it's a great program. Thank you.
Absolutely. Let me ask one final question. How many of our employees are engaged with the GIS system here? Rough number.
President Paul, I say the majority of our employees. We have 600 employees. I would say the majority of the employees use some aspect of the GIS or a tool that relies on GIS. So if not all of our employees in some way or another use GIS, and okay. I don't know, Andy, if you agree with that assessment.
That's correct. We have, in terms of field users, mm-hmm. we currently have about 150 set up within the system, but desktop applications, I think everyone within the district is becoming reliant on some aspect or another of it.
No, so my point is that this is a very important part of our operating business. And so I appreciate what you do to make sure that we're keeping up to speed and keeping everybody with the right tools in the toolbox to do their job. So thank you. Great presentation. Appreciate it very much. With that, we'll move on to item 7, which is to receive and file various reports. I'll make a motion to accept the reports.
Second.
Dr. Slauson is going to second that. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Crona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
And that passes 5-0. We will go on to our calendar review. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. I have three events for your consideration today. One is on Thursday, January 12th. Metropolitan Water District is hosting a dedication ceremony at Lake Matthews. The second is February 22nd through the 24th is the Urban Water Institute Spring Conference. And lastly is March 4th through the 8th is the Water Reuse Symposium. So flyers are attached to your calendar packet with that information. Turning to page 2 is the current listing of the board members' master calendar over the next 2 weeks. It's kind of short and sweet, so enjoy your holiday. if anything changes, please let me know if you have any updates on that. So on page 3 is the upcoming conferences and events with participants. We do have on January 27th Moreno Valley's Chamber of Commerce Installation Award Banquet. Followed by February 16th through the 17th is the Cal DESAL Annual Conference. And then also February 22nd through the 24th is the Multi-State Salinity Coalition Summit. So, and again, all that information is at the back of your packet. So continuing on to page 3 is the board and board committee meetings scheduled through March, in which they all are currently on schedule. And at the top of page 4 is the interagency meetings. Please note that the Elsinore Valley joint meeting was moved to January 23rd, which is a Monday. Otherwise, I have all the details listed through March, which they are all on schedule. So, and EMWD's offices will be closed December 26th, January 2nd, January 16th, and February 20th in observance of holidays. So are there any questions regarding the calendar review?
See none. Thank you very much,
not
Jennifer,
problem.
For
Happy
keeping
holidays.
Us all on track. We will go to board members' reports. We'll start with Director Armstrong.
Yep, I attended the coordination meeting with Supervisor Jeffries that Joe talked about, and thought it was a really good meeting, and just compliments to our staff because it's another example of our staff kind of being creative and looking for solutions that not really just benefit Eastern, but really benefit others more than Eastern out of this. And so I thought it was a really good meeting, and hopefully there's some you know, good results that come here in the near term. And had a good monthly update with our general manager, and I also participated in the poster contest judging, which is really nice to see all those posters from all the kids of different ages and different grades, and just the creativity that goes into those. It's really amazing the artwork that's done at different levels. So that was really good meeting too.
All right, very good. Director Corona?
Yeah, I don't have a report. The Rancho meeting was moved to the date of our board meeting last month, so I did not attend both meetings at one time. So. That's all I have.
I appreciate you attending our meeting. Winchester Advisory Council was dark for the month of December. I had a meeting with the general manager, which is always good. IE Works board meeting, I was on there, but they started late, and it did not fit the rest of my schedule, so I was not able to attend that. The Water Education Poster Judging Contest, I was not able to get to. I'm glad that Director Armstrong was there. That is one of my favorites, and unfortunately this year just did not fit my schedule. And then yesterday we had, and Joe, you can chime in here, we had a really good discussion with one of the larger land developers in the Winchester area who had a lot of questions about water and sewer coverage as that area develops out on Scott Road. And I appreciate our staff. You know, this Mr. Dominigoni called me and said that he would like to meet, and appreciate Joe that we get everybody together. And I'm very serious about it. We help the development community figure out what they need to do and what our plans were. So I don't know, but I thought that was a very good meeting and some follow-up to come.
Yeah, I agree, President Pauly. I think it's always good as we advance our planning efforts to share information with the community and landowners, because we get feedback from them as far as what they're seeing that will transpire in terms of land use. So I thought it was a really beneficial meeting for us and for the property owners.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you for that, Joe and staff. Director Record?
Joint Inland Orange County Caucus, December 8th, discussion of MET agenda. It's a good meeting, standing committee and board meetings. Chair-elect Ortega laid out his vision for appointments and also meeting structure, and he's contemplating having concurrent committee meetings, which I expressed my displeasure at, because for someone who talks about transparency and inclusion, basically shutting out the small agencies who only have one MET director from half the meetings and the public as well doesn't embody that at all. So in the 20 years I've been at MET, we've never done that before, and I think it maybe is just maybe an accommodation to LA and San Diego, who have multiple directors who have no trouble covering all the meetings. And so hopefully that is something that doesn't end up happening, because it's very important to not only be involved in the meetings for the staff presentations, but to hear other directors talk and provide your own input. And that's why we serve. So I we'll see what happens going forward. There were two presentations that I really liked. One was Chico State. They have a department that focuses on regenerative ag and resilient systems in a partnership with Metropolitan and Blythe on fallowed land that's showing a lot of promise, and it was very well accepted by the board, and their board is mandating that staff try to find some federal or state funding, because there's a lot of that available now to further that study. And if we can document carbon capture and carbon loss, it just opens up all kinds of opportunities for fallowed land all over the state. And also a presentation from Randall Newdeck about the Delta Islands that were purchased about 5 years ago, and anticipating that that's where the twin tunnels would go, and they won't. There's a whole different route for the single tunnel now, but the management of those lands has really been phenomenal, and the partners involved, a lot of NGOs and the state, and it's changing the paradigm in the Delta about appropriate land management to reduce oxidation and subsidence and capture carbon. So those were two presentations that were very well accepted. And that was, to me, the highlight of the MET meetings. I attended CRUA after that, which is a whole different ballgame now. I mean, it's not as collegial as it used to be. I think all the agencies are kind of drawn a line in the sand, and you know, as we all know, it's very serious. So that was an interesting conference. And then a monthly update with General Manager, always good one-on-one to talk about what's going on in the district.
All right, very good. Thank you for that, Director Slauson.
Yes, I did not attend the Chamber wake-up meeting on the 14th. I did attend this past Friday or Monday on the 19th, the Riverside Community College District Foundation Audit Committee, and we reviewed the auditor's report and attended Santa Ana Watershed Authority meeting yesterday in person, and we approved the SOPA reserve policy. It's been revised. Laura did a lot of work on that, as well as others, and approved the annual comprehensive financial report and audit, authorized the GM to enter into a contract with West Yost to conduct basin monitoring program, their basin monitoring, and authorized the general manager to issue bids for SOPA lobby improvements and security improvements, and received the legislative report. That's it.
Very good. Do we have any director's comments or future agenda items?
So I have a comment. I got a letter in the mail from Eastern that says I probably have a leak. And so I looked around, and I couldn't find a leak. And so I eventually called customer service and talked to a nice young man named Jose, who was really helpful. And I didn't tell him that I had any connection to the district or anything like that, but he offered to send me my usage, which he did, which consisted of 83 pages of very fine print of water usage. So at any rate, I did, after a lot of work, discover that there was a leak that I never would have found if Eastern didn't have the capability to monitor that and, you know, see what's going on. It was in an area that hardly ever look at, and there used to be a mobile home there 25 years ago. So anyway, just pass
along.
Just think
of all the money we're going to lose now.
So I don't know that I can document it to try to get some, you know, consideration for my bill going forward, but I just want you to pass along that.
Thank you,
customer service did a great job, and I'm going to take a page out of President Pauly's book and be able to look at it in real time.
On the website,
I'm not an e-guy like most people are, but anyway, I just thought it was a really good thing that happened, so thank you.
Thank you.
No, I mean, the amount of technology and the fact that we can reach out now is very helpful to our customers. I had a leak earlier in the year, and now I am a dedicated, once a week I look at my Eastern daily water usage and make sure. So the tools we give our customers to manage their water, I'm very proud of this district for doing that and the investment we put in. So, and the fact that you've got 82 pages of
83
pages. All right.
And a little bar chart might have been
for someone of my age, probably more appropriate.
But. Very good. But it is a real kudos to what we do in customer service. Anybody else have any comments?
Just Director for everyone, including all of us here and families, to have a nice Christmas and New Year's. Watch out for drunk drivers.
Director Armstrong?
Same as Director Slauson. I just want to wish everybody happy holidays.
Director Armstrong, I hope that going forward you can rely on Director Record for some advice and counsel. And again, I just want to thank Director Record for an outstanding job of recognizing or representing this agency for the past 20 years at MET. It is very important to us, and I thank you for that. And same to you. I hope you can help guide Director Armstrong going forward.
I'd be happy to, and as I've said many times, it's an honor to represent this agency, not only at MET, but everywhere. So thank you.
Very good. I understand we have no need for closed session.
That's correct, Mr. Chair, but I also wanted to just say thanks to the board for the opportunity for me and my firm to continue to represent the district for another interesting and challenging year, and also to acknowledge Joe and his crew with Nick and Laura and I and everybody else for helping out and helping me out in that regard. So lastly, I hope everybody has a happy holiday and a Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. With that, we are going to stand adjourned until Wednesday, January 24th, 2023.